Thank you, Chris. And thank you for the great job you and the Family Ministries team are doing here with our kids and our families. I absolutely love it. Archie, why don't you come up here and grab a microphone? And Archie is part of our steering committee for our Sunday night community dinner. And so after 2.5 years of a hiatus, that is relaunching tonight. So we are very curious how that's going to go, how many are going to come, that sort of thing. But one change that means for us as a Sunday morning congregation is to prepare for the Sunday evening congregation. It means we've got to stack our chairs again. And so I think there's a slide up there. And you can, after the service, if you don't mind assisting in that, and we'll roll out the round tables and get ready for tonight. So Archie, you and Sue, you're coming tonight, and you've committed to come once a month to come and eat with our congregation. And we're not sure why that lighting cue happened, but we just go with it. And so, yeah, why are you guys coming on a monthly basis?
Well, thank you, Rick, and thanks for just giving me the opportunity to share a little bit about the fact that, one, that the community dinner is starting up tonight, and Tracy did a good job of communicating that in the video at the beginning, and also a chance just to share why Sue and I are involved, and also hopefully to encourage some in the congregation that you might want to get involved in the community dinner as well. It's great to see the Saturday night dinner or the Sunday night
dinner. Sunday night, yes. Come.
Yeah. Did I say Saturday?
You said Saturday night. Yeah.
Well, Hopefully the others didn't make that error. So Sunday night dinner back again. It's been a real legacy for Grace Point. 30 years of serving the DD and those that can't really necessarily provide for themselves. We have been providing a Wednesday lunch program, which has been great in terms of from a nutritional perspective for that segment in our community. But the Sunday night dinner provides also an opportunity for emotional and relational contact as they sit and have the meal. And that's really the key part of the dinner. We're feeding folks, but we're also sitting down, talking to them, praying for them, seeing what their spiritual needs are. And one of the things I have really been thankful for is Pastor Steve and Pastor Jana's vision that they have cast for that community in terms of trying to build a loving community where they would help each other and take some leadership in the evenings. And that, I think that's really important, just to give dignity and support for those folks. There was a scripture I wanted to read, Rick, sure, that I thought it's one of the scriptures that has inspired me to be involved. And I think it's important to reflect on how God feels about the whole thing. In Deuteronomy 15, verse 11, God speaking to the Israelites as they come into their country, into their community and their new land. And he reminds them that there will always be poor people in your land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards the poor and needy in your land. And I think that's really important for us to reflect upon, that the Lord really cares about all of us and wants us all to care for each other. And Jesus sort of emphasized or sort of reiterated the importance in this area when he said that the second most important commandment is that the Lord is around love your neighbor as yourself. And I think, again, that's just very important for us to reflect upon. So, Rick, I also want to thank you for persevering through the COVID period and leading us back to starting the Sunday night dinner. I think that's, I really appreciate that, and I feel that's a real testimony for your love and concern for the community and having the Lord's heart.
Well, thank you, Archie, and well, we're just reflecting God's heart, right? in that. So can you pray as we relaunch the dinner this evening?
Lord, I thank you for providing Grace Point the opportunity to restart the community dinners. I pray for all those involved in the preparation of the food tonight and those who will be ministering to those attending the evening. May we share the love of Jesus and let the people know that the joy that is in our hearts comes from you. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Archie. Appreciate that. All right. Naturally, supernatural life. We're going to wrap up our summer series this morning. Next week, we've got a guest speaker coming in, a professor from UBC who's written the book Overdose. And this week on Wednesday was International Overdose Day. And I joined with a couple dozen others down in White Rock, people who had lost loved ones or other advocates in this area. And I was walking with someone, and he said, I introduced myself, and he said, "Oh, Grace Point Church." He said, "I drove by your church, and I saw the sign out front." And he said, "I got to admit, I thought that was strange." And he said, I said, "Well, why is it strange?" He said, "Why would the church have anything to do with the problems in society?" And I thought, there's something kind of sad if that's the perception of people of why we exist when Jesus called us to be salt and light. And so it is a crisis in our area. As we know, 6 people a day here in British Columbia are passing away, and so we want to be part of the solution. So that'll be happening next week. All right, the naturally supernatural life of hearing God. And our scripture this morning is from Psalm 139. And rather than me reading the scripture, let's listen to some kids say the scripture this morning.
You have searched me, Lord, and you know me.
You know where I sit and where I lie.
You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down.
You are familiar in all my ways.
No me llega aún la palabra a la lengua, cuando tú, Señor, ya lo sabes toda.
You hem me in behind and before.
You lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain.
Where can I go for your spirit?
Where I can flee from my presence.
Si subiera al cielo, ahí estás tú.
If I make my bed in the depths, you are there.
For you created my inmost being.
You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you.
I praise you.
I praise you.
I'm fearfully, wonderfully made.
Una creación admirable.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Your works are wonderful.
I know that full well.
Mis huesos no te fueron desconocidos.
When I was made in the secret place.
When I was woven together in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes saw my full body.
All the days ordained from me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
Search me, God.
Search me, God.
Search me, God, and know my heart.
Y sondea mi corazón.
Test me and know my anxious thoughts.
See if there is any offensive way in me.
Y guíame.
And lead me.
Lead me.
Lead me in the way everlasting.
All right, that's Psalm 139 there, and As Chris said, there's 4 points I see here in the 4 out of the 5 stanzas. We'll skip one of the stanzas. But the first point being that God sees you. In the first 6 verses of the psalm there, the psalmist just marvels how God is on all sides. That no matter if he's sitting or if he's standing or if he's moving, he's still, that God is all around him. In fact, he says that God hems me in before and behind. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That God is with us. Every place he goes, the psalmist believes that God is there with him. Friends, do you believe that? We as humanity have continued to try and hide from God. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, they did that. Their son Cain did that. But God sees all. God sees you. And for the psalmist, this meant that he would respond in awe and worship and marvel. I love verse 6 in the NET translation. It says, "Your knowledge is beyond comprehension. It is so far beyond me, I am unable to fathom it." He lives with nothing to fear, nothing to hide, because God is there. It's not a fear, but it's a fascination. That we can live the same way, friends, not in the fear of the Father, but in wonder. That he knows you fully. He sees you. So come out of hiding. Stop pretending. Come to this loving God who sees all. Point number one, God sees you. Now in the first stanza of this psalm, the subject tends to be you. You have searched me, Lord. You know me. You discern my going out. You hem me in. You. Then in the next stanza, verses 7 to 12, it changes from you to I as he reflects on this I-you relationship. And he begins with 2 rhetorical questions. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And the answer, of course, is nowhere. And he mentions a couple areas in space that if he goes up to the heavens, that God is there. He goes down to the depths, God is there. If he goes to the east, which way is east? This way is east? Which way is east? This way is east? Yeah, if I go to the east, God is there. Go to the west, God is there. That no matter where we are, God's right hand will hold us fast. And then in the last 2 verses of that stanza, he says, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." That's a profound thought, eh? See, for the ancients, they believed that darkness was kind of that place of chaos and death. But the psalmist is saying here that even in that place of chaos, God is there because God is light. And in him, there's no darkness. As John writes in his letter, John 1:5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." The prophet Jonah, he tried to escape from God. God told him to go to Nineveh, but he ran and tried to go the other way to Tarshish. But he found that God is everywhere, that God is in Nineveh, but God's in Tarshish also. Wherever you and I go, God is there with us. You and I can't escape God, and that's a good thing. So kids, as you're going back to school this week, who's going back to school this week? Let's see your hands. Okay, as you're going back to school this week, God is there with you. You know, and that's a good thing. Maybe you're going to a new school, maybe you got a new teacher, maybe new kids that you're gonna meet. You don't have to be afraid that God is there with you. God sees you. So the first 2 stanzas is a celebration of God's knowledge of us and God's presence with us. That God sees us and God is with us. Points number 1 and 2 there, kids, on your outline. Now there's something about babies that everyone loves, right? Every baby is a cute baby. You were cute when you were a baby. And now in the third stanza, the author shifts the gears to talk about God's marvelous design of us that's evident in every baby. God's marvelous design of you. As Eugene Peterson said, "In the presence of birth, we don't calculate, we marvel." Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. Let's put it up on the screen there. Let's read it together. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Wow, those are just some beautiful words of scripture there, eh? Just so reassuring. And that brings me to point number three, that God made you. From your earliest days as a baby, God designed you while you were still in your mother's womb. You are no accident. You were created by a loving creator. And Andy, I appreciated how you introduced the last song that we sang, and just thinking of Andy and some of the other artists who were, and artisans who were at our farmer's market last weekend. And as I walked around, not being artistic at all, you know, like I do like stick figures kind of thing, you know, and on a good day, and just walking around and seeing the works of art there, I thought, this is so beautiful. God created each person is different. And the word that's used here, the word create, where it says, you created my inmost being, that word was used in the Hebrew to describe artists and artisans doing some of their works of art. That God as an artist created you as a wonderful work of art. He created you. And the psalmist goes on to say there that my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. Well, that's the word. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth. And that word woven almost kind of describes the manual dexterity of God. It's the same word that's used in the book of the book of Exodus there, as they're talking about the artisans who wove together the temple curtain, taking that blue and purple and scarlet material and weaving it together to make the temple curtain. That, friends, you were designed for a sacred person. So I say, don't call yourself ugly because you're not. Don't criticize yourself because you were created by a designer, just as you are. You're not a random collection of cells. Your personality, appearance, skills are all part of the unique design of who you are. You are unique. We celebrate every KU kid, and I emailed out to the parents of and the caregivers of KU families and asked if anybody would like to come and be part of a panel with me. So any kids that want to come up here that you want to share something you're interested in here, so Amelia, Donald, come on up here. Guys, that'd be great. Noah, Adam, come on up here, guys. Have a seat there. That'd be awesome. Thank you. All right. Come on up, guys. All right. Okay. Have a seat there. Excellent. Well, thanks so much for coming up here this morning, being part of this panel together with me. So why don't you guys just say your first name so everybody knows who you are?
Amelia, Donald, Adam, Noah.
Okay. So Adam and Noah, why don't I start with you guys? What kind of things do you like doing? What kind of things did you do this summer that you enjoyed doing? What, do you remember?
Go to a water slide park.
Okay, yeah, you guys went to the water slide park. How was that?
Fun.
That was fun, eh? Yeah. Were some of the slides kind of scary?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were, eh? Yeah, yeah. Noah, did you go down any of the fast ones?
Yeah.
You did, eh? Yeah, okay. Excellent, yeah. Now, do you guys like indoor kind of stuff or outdoor kind of stuff? What do you like doing?
Both.
You like doing both, eh? What about when you're outdoors? What kind of stuff do you like doing?
Riding my bike.
You like riding your bike? Yeah, awesome. Where do you ride to?
Around the whole RV park.
Okay, around the whole park you ride? Yeah. And you also told me there's a place by your house that you ride to. Your brother's not quite allowed to go yet because he's younger.
Also, I sell Pop. And made more than $100.
Really? Okay. So you're a little business entrepreneur too. Okay. Wow. Good for you guys. Excellent. Yeah. And you told me you like to ride down to the creek? Yeah? You do that? So, okay. What do you do when you guys are at the creek?
Go in it.
Yeah. Okay. You go in the creek. Okay. Awesome. That's good. Okay. Anything else that you guys like or you're interested in?
Playing my Switch.
Okay, yeah, I'm playing on the Switch. Yeah, no, very fun. Excellent, good. Why don't I talk to these kids over here, eh? All right, thanks for sharing. What about you guys? What kind of stuff are you interested in? What do you like doing, Donald?
I like to go skiing.
Okay, yeah, you like skiing? Excellent, so you like outdoor kind of stuff, eh? Yeah, yeah. What about you, Amelia? What do you like?
I like to do karate and dance.
Okay, yeah. And are you in a dance class? Yeah, okay, so you do that? Excellent, no, that's good. And you mentioned karate. So you guys like karate, and I heard you went away this summer for a karate tournament, eh?
Yes.
Yeah. Was that lots of fun?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Good. So besides skiing, karate, dance, anything else that you guys are interested in or you like doing?
Traveling.
Okay. Trapeze. Okay. Excellent. No,
traveling.
Yeah. Oh, traveling. Okay. Traveling. Okay.
Duck hunting.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. You don't do that alone, though, do you? No, good. Okay, good to hear. So otherwise, I'd have to have a talk with your dad over there. So it, no, excellent. Good. And you guys, you're into karate. And you, when you came by the other day, thanks, guys, for coming by the other day, by the way. You did a little karate demonstration for me, eh? Do you want to maybe do that for the church?
Sure.
Yeah, go for it. Let's see you do it. Yeah. Why don't you do it? Okay. Let's watch them do their karate. Okay. You want to go, Amelia? Okay. Wow, this is interesting. I don't remember the breaking the boards on Wednesday, so this is getting interesting here. Awesome. Let's give all of our kids a hand. Thank you very much, kids. You can go have a seat. Go have a seat. Thanks so much, guys. All right. Okay. Any other kids off the spur of the moment want to share something about they're interested in or something they like doing? I don't want to miss anyone. Okay. And there's one other kid that we're going to watch in the video here. You brought a friend along there, eh? Who's that?
This is Penguin, given from my Auntie Connie when I was like 3, and I sleep with it every night. It's my best toy I have.
Okay, excellent. Wow, you've had that since you were 3. How old are you now?
I am 9.
9 years old, okay. So you've had it for 6 years, wow. Well, as Psalm 139 says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, I'm wondering, what kind of things do you like doing? Or what kind of things are you interested in?
I love playing, I love music, I love dancing. Those are the baseline of things I really like.
Okay, yeah. You love music. Is there a certain type of music you love?
Mostly poppy and high and deep.
Okay, yeah, excellent, yeah. And you love dance? Now, are you in a dance class, or you do it on your own?
I mostly do it on my own.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Is there anything you don't like doing? Or anything you don't like?
I have this weird habit of not wanting to go outside.
Okay. Yeah.
And I also hate being alone.
Hmm. Okay.
It's like, if I look around the room and I can't see anyone, I get freaked out.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And a lot of kids are like that. And one of the reasons we're looking at this Psalm 139 today is a reminder that even when we're alone, we're never actually alone. God is with us. And the always, yes, the promise there in that psalm is that God never leaves us. And it doesn't matter where we go, that He is there with us. And so, yeah, I want you to always remember that. So, now you're filming here today because you're going away, right? Where are you going on a trip to?
I'm going on an Alaska cruise.
Okay.
And there's going to be a lot of food, a lot of music, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going in 4 days.
Okay, awesome. Well, that's good, yeah. Well, maybe I won't take any more time so you can get home and get packing and get all ready for your cruise. Have a good time, eh? Alrighty, every KU kid is fearfully and wonderfully made. Church family, you are fearfully and wonderfully made also. Celebrate that. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. You don't have to. Nobody is like you. In all creation, there will be never another person who has your smile, who has your eyes, your ears, your voice, your talents. Well, you say, well, other people are better at things. Well, that's okay. But your combination of talents that God created you with is unique, and you are rare. And in rarity, there is great value, because we put rare things in museums. One of a kind. You are one of a kind. Out of all of the billions of people on planet Earth today, there is only one you. Only one person who can do the job that God has called you to do, and that person is you. So point number three, kids, is that God created you. Now let's skip down to the end of the psalm, and we'll skip the imprecatory parts. If we were an adult service, we would look at that. I would say, adults, don't be afraid of the hard parts of the Bible, some of those verses there towards the end of the psalm. It's just a reminder, there's people that will always oppose us, and people that will hate on you. That's okay. God is still with us in the midst of that. And even in the unfairness of life, God still sees us and knows us. Okay, verse 23 and 24. Why don't we stick those up on the screen? Let's read them together. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there are any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So point number four is that God knows you. And it's interesting. It's how he started the psalm. With that same word, no. In the Hebrew, it's the word yada. Everybody say yada. Yada. He says it seven times there in the psalm. He starts out by saying, you've searched me, Lord, and you yada me. You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. And then he ends the psalm as kind of in this inclusio with the same thing. Search me, God, and know my heart. That God knows you. The psalmist is just awestruck by this relationship with the Lord. That God sees everything, that God knows everything, and that this God who's created him and knows him can invite us into relationship with him. And so I say, friends, there's no other better response than to respond to this God who sees you, this God who is with you, this God who created you, and fourthly, this God who knows you, this God who invites you into relationship, who says, listen to me. Live the naturally supernatural life of hearing my voice. So listen as he calls you his beloved. Listen as he says to you, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen as he reminds you that you are never alone. How many cat lovers do we have here? Okay, we've got a few cat lovers. Okay, good to know. Some enthusiastic ones too. Wow. Well, we got the prayer teams afterwards for the cat lovers, and I'm a dog person myself, just saying. Anyways, a theologian who I like, Jeff Hoekstra. Him and his wife wrote a book entitled, Does God Really Like Me? And they talk about their two black cats, Johnny and June. And they describe June as being timid, skittish, and fearful. They say that she will only approach them if the house is completely quiet and nobody has moved for hours. Otherwise, you know, if there's movement in the house, June stays in the shadows. She won't come near. She doesn't trust that she's welcome. She's always afraid that they're going to turn against her and shoo her away. She doesn't believe that she belongs in the home. She doesn't believe that that the owners, Jeff and Sid, like having her around. Now, Johnny, the other cat, on the other hand, he knows he belongs, and he acts like he belongs. He spreads himself out on the coffee table. He's up on the couch. Someone's sitting on the couch. Even somebody new in the house, he'll go and sit on the lap of this person. When it's time for dinner, Johnny will go up on the empty chair, put his paws up on the kitchen table like, serve me dinner. It's dinner time now. I'm one of the family. And Jeff and Sid write in the book, when it's bedtime, they have to shoo Johnny off the bed because he wants to sleep on the bed there with them, but he likes to sleep on their faces, and that doesn't make for a very good sleep. Johnny just assumes that he's welcome. He knows that everybody likes having him around. He knows that he belongs. So let me ask you, church family, and those of you who are watching online, are you more like June or more like Johnny when it comes to a relationship with God? See, a lot of us can relate to June. Beneath the surface is this fear. Does God really accept me? Will God shoo me away? But friends, heaven and earth are God's home, and he made this home to share with his children, you and I. And he invites you to live in his presence. Do you believe that you are welcome in God's home? Do you act more like Johnny, believing that you have a place in the Father's house, or more like June, skittish and fearful, always afraid of getting kicked out? Friends, you have a place at the Father's table. You are welcome. Pull up a chair. The banquet table is set for a flourishing relationship with God. He won't reject you. He won't disown you. God created you. God knows you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. So, church, I see in this psalm this encouragement to act like Johnny. You have a place. God is there with you this week, wherever you go, whoever you're with, whoever you're not with, that God is there with you. It's just for you and I to be aware and to respond to his presence. Why don't we have a prayer for those going to school? So any of the kids going to school, who's going to preschool for the first time? I know some of you are going to preschool. Okay, yeah, I know Noah, who's up here. He's going to preschool for the first time. Who's going to kindergarten? Some of you going to kindergarten? Going to grade 1, grade 7, high school? I want you to stand, or if you're short, you can stand on your chair there. Go ahead and stand, or any adults that are going to school, and we are going to have a prayer time of commissioning you. Yeah, stand up right now, kids. You're going to school. That'd be awesome. And the rest of us who are seated, as you see somebody around you who's going to school, you can now have a time of silence, and you can pray for that person who is going to school. It's a big deal going to school. Some of you adults know that. And so we will have a prayer time of commissioning you as you go into this new school year. So let's go to prayer. And those of you who are seated, if you'd like to extend a hand towards someone who's standing near you, you can go ahead and do that. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you that indeed you are with us all of our days from the very beginning. Thank you that we can have this assurance. It's not based upon whether we feel you or not, but the truth of your word that we read this morning. And thank you for each person who's standing, who's heading to school now. We want to say a word of prayer for them right now. So go ahead, do that, church family, just in the silence of your heart. Pray for somebody near you who's standing, who's heading to school. Oh, we thank you, Lord God. As we live here on earth, your home, that we are welcome with you, to seek you, to respond to you, the God who loved us first, and you demonstrated that love through the cross, that we can live in relationship with you. In your name we pray, amen.